With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Hello, hello. We are here. I'm like, who is we? Who's on the mic with me? Nobody knows, right? And it's a mystery. It's a mystery. I'm keeping it a mystery. Just kidding. I'm with Alex Barton right now. Alex is a trainer, and I feel like I'm not going to intro you. You can intro you. But today's episode is all about fitness and health and fads and how to gain muscle, how to lose weight, like how to even start working out, what things to avoid, right? All of those things and how we have an information overload all the time. And we don't know where to turn or what to do with fitness related questions. And granted, I'm in the fitness industry, but I am not a fitness expert. I consider myself a brand expert and maybe a podcast expert, but I would not say that I am a fitness and wellness expert. I don't do it 24/7, 7 days a week, right? That's why I wanted Alex to come on. How to build a fitness routine for your goals, how to see change, gym intimidation, and then I have some rapid fire at the end. But why don't you introduce yourself real quick here?
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Do I look at the camera?
You can look at the camera. You can look at me. I usually look at you. But gotcha. If I'm saying something really drive home, I might look at the camera.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. So I'm Alex. I'm a certified strength and conditioning specialist. I have my CSCS, NASM, certified personal trainer. I'm certified with the American College of Sports Medicine in exercise physiology as well. I have my degree in kinesiology. Exercise science. And I've been doing this for 10 years training. And before that, had been working out since I was 12 years old, and I'm lucky enough to get to live my passion.
Yeah. So. You really do get to live your passion, which is so cool. And right, you get to help people feel better.
Yeah.
Including my fiance Jordan, which is insane because you're helping him right now get to his goals, which is so cool.
He'll feel good in a couple of weeks.
I know. Right now you have him very crabby. So I'm not happy about that, right. But no, I'm just kidding. Alex is someone I consider an expert, just even after talking to you the few times that I had prior, hearing about the people you train and how you train. And would you just give like a quick, like, info of like what you specialize in too, because you were talking about this before when you were finishing up your schooling, you had to do a pre and postpartum, you know, thing. Yeah. And like, don't go into detail because that's a later episode, but just all of the little nuggets of knowledge that you have.
Yeah. Through time in the fitness industry, you end up kind of picking up different, I'll say, specialties along the way. Mm-hmm. I did finish my degree with a presentation and basically on postpartum pregnancy training. I haven't done that since then. And then in the 8 years that I've been here, I'd say I have like a 60-40 split with male versus female clients. Mm-hmm. Definitely heavier in training men. But I would say that my specialty is in weight loss first, probably then men's physique. And then I would characterize as performance training.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Well, this episode is going to be super informative, but also interesting. And we'll talk about the fads as well, which I think everyone needs to listen to because I've been fooled a time or two by these fads. So let's get into it. Before we start this episode in detail, I want to say that any movement of your body is a good thing. And there's just smarter ways to do it. So just be mindful that the information we're going to share, any movement of your body is a good thing. Wherever you're meeting yourself right now, I want you to know that. I want you to know that if you've come a long way and you are just getting on your feet to walk on the tread a few times a week, that's a big deal. So I don't want to discount any of that information, but I want to talk about first, starting it off, why having a professional calculate your goals is so important versus someone that you're just looking up online and like making guesstimates of your goals.
Yeah, that's a good question. So when somebody first comes to walk in, right, the first couple minutes of me meeting with them, right, first, I just want to get to know them as a human being. Mm-hmm. But then the first question that I ask them that's going to lead me to be able to create a plan for them is, okay, so what brought you in the door, right? It's really important to kind of understand somebody's backstory of what, okay, you know, you've taken the action to kind of step through a scary threshold. Okay. Yeah. And that's both like a psychological thing, right? But that something happened to get them there to that point where they're like, okay, now I need a professional.
It's a big step forward, I think.
Yeah. It's a big step forward. So having somebody who's trained to first listen, right? That's our first skill set as a trainer, is just listening. and hearing someone and kind of hearing what's behind the words that they're saying. And that takes time to develop that skill set. Mm-hmm. And then understand them and comprehend those goals in a way that makes you be able to do the math, the science to put together a routine. But secondly, for them to not have to endure any of that process, right? For them to show up and just have a fun workout. That's the difference between having a professional do it versus going to a like online calculator. We make sure that the efficacy with the science is all there, right? We have formulas that we use. We have systems that we use. And we can get into exactly what those are a little bit later as it gets more specific. But that is the largest difference, is the accuracy and then the delivery, right? The delivery of something that is got a lot behind it that will feel like any other workout that you've done.
That's, yeah. I mean, I feel like that has to be true because there's so much information out there too. I feel like we get caught up in like, well, I can answer what I need based on all the information coming in. But like you and I talked about prior to this episode, there is an information overwhelm happening around us all the time. Social media is telling us what to do. It's telling us the fads. It's telling us what's current, what's recent, what's important, what the now is. Now that, you know, that old way is out the door. So I want to talk about that a little bit because I think that is the reason why a lot of people are like, okay, you're right. I need to go to the expert. But once you realize that, sometimes you're in a point of so, you're angry with yourself for like waiting that long. You feel like, oh my God, now it's going to be even longer once I go in. What would you tell to somebody really quick before I go into that? Like if they feel like they waited too long and now they're just so distraught, they don't even know what to do next. Just come to you, just be excited to work and like know that the change will happen. It just is going to take a little time.
I'd probably tell them to just get up and go for a walk, right? You know, kind of coming back to that anchor of the episode of like any movement is good movement. If you're feeling overwhelmed in fitness, like go for a walk, 10 minutes of exercise, right? That's all it takes to actually have accomplished what we can call a workout and then come back to it, right? You're probably overwhelmed more from scrolling and seeing a million different exercises than you actually are from exercising and moving. And so stopping and interjecting movement, right? And then coming back to it and grounding yourself in your plan.
I love that. I like that. And that's a simple takeaway. So don't overwhelm yourself. We're going to give a lot of information. We're going to go forward with it. So just please, if you get a little overwhelmed, know that you can find yourself grounded with a little outside time. Okay. So fads, let's talk about them. There's a few that I wrote down that we talked about earlier too. One that I see a lot of on social media is like workout plans to lose fat before Christmas. And mind you, we're in November right now. What are your thoughts on a few of these? And we'll just rip through them a little bit.
Okay. Workout plans to lose weight before Christmas. How many days till Christmas?
30. No. We're in December.
We're 9 days.
I said November. What? Wrong month, sister. Nine days away.
Yeah. So, okay. Realistically, if anyone was listening to this and they were like, I want to lose body fat, right? The most that you're going to lose and you'll be miserable leading up to it is about 3 pounds. Okay. And so that's maximally what's going to happen, right? Can you lose more weight? Yes. Right. It's going to be water weight, right? Oh, yeah. Keto works very well for that. It's not something that you're going to want to do leading into the holidays. And you're probably going to have more negative emotions coming out of the other side. So I would say that the best thing going into the holidays, Christmas, New Year, all those things is have your two buckets. Okay. This is kind of a philosophy that I have is that if you're eating and you're with people that you're enjoying yourself with, right, that's going to be a healthy paradigm for you to eat in.
Yep.
Do that over the holidays. Okay. And then in the other times, stay in your normal routine. Okay. Prioritize healthy foods. Those types of things are going to be your holiday habits that are actually going to get you to a meaningful place for the new year. But if you crash diet into the holidays, it's going to have the backswing that's of equal or even more magnitude.
Yeah. And I've heard of that happening more too, just because people think like, oh, diet. Oh shoot. You get to the holidays and you're just like binging basically for like a number of days with your family. And then you'd punish yourself and then you feel bad and then you're in a bad mindset. Yeah. I thank you for clarifying that because I see them on social media all the time and us in the room, Sid's in the room. We see them a lot and they're frustrating because people fall victim to like that mentality of like, let's just get you losing weight for the Christmas, you know, before Christmas comes around for 2024. It's like not sustainable. We don't even have to go into it any further. Next one I wrote down is if I do cardio, I won't be as hungry and I will get in shape faster.
If you do cardio, you will definitely be more hungry. Mm-hmm. You will definitely be more hungry, especially if you're doing it correctly. Mm-hmm. If you interject any level of high intensity training, the healthy response for your body is to have an increased level of appetite. The only time when that's not going to be true is when you have gotten to a state of overtraining and your body is really trying to go the other direction. And so that won't happen as an acute response. That's after weeks and weeks and weeks of adding in a lot of cardio.
So you're saying if you are somebody who thinks the logic is, if I do cardio, I can eat less. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to lose weight, right? Like I'll get in shape faster. Mm-hmm. You'll actually be hungrier. And well, muscle is, can we talk about muscle in your body and how it's warmer and how it actually is the opposite. So like lifting helps your metabolism. Maybe we can throw that in there too.
100%. Yeah. So when you're lifting weights, you're actively building muscle and that's going to basically increase the size of your body's engine. And from there, your body's going to need more calories to sustain itself. So those are the types of things that you can do is almost like if you were to think of it as your investment strategy, mm-hmm. right? That's the thing that's going to be paying you dividends over time.
I see.
Right. Versus like the immediate burn, this is the thing that's okay. going to make it easier for you to burn on the daily basis.
Which is something I had to honestly relearn, which we'll talk about in gym intimidation a little bit. But like mm-hmm. I had to relearn that. I was a lacrosse player and a hockey player and they ran us to the ground, basically hit workout after hit workout after hit workout. That's what it was because it mm-hmm. was all out. You had to be able to, as a midfielder, run all out for a number of minutes, usually 3 to 4, and then take a rest and then 3 to 4 minutes all out and take a rest. You know, so it was like constant. I thought even going back into the gym, like if I don't train as hard as I did, I must not be getting a good workout in. That's what I used to think, you know, like I must be on the tread. I must be doing that. And it became a problem. So we'll get into that later too, but mm-hmm. it's hard.
It is.
I wrote down zone 2 cardio versus zone 3 or 4.
Yeah. So if you've been on social media, which I'm guessing most of your followers are, mm-hmm. you know, you've seen zone 2 cardio, you've seen hybrid training, you've seen all these different methods. Zone 2 is the one that should stick around. Okay. Zone 3 had its time in the sun. And everything gets a little bit overdone mm-hmm. in time. Zone 2 cardio is basically bringing your heart rate up to the top end of what you can maintain using your aerobic system to produce energy. Okay. Mm-hmm. What that means is that your body's taking oxygen in and using that oxygen to basically produce energy.
Okay.
The other two types are anaerobic glycolysis. That's your zone 3. Okay. And then there is your ATP PCR. Mm-hmm. If any of you supplement with creatine, your ATP PCR is supported by creatine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. 100%. We can talk about that chemistry in a second.
Yeah.
But with zone 2 cardio, you can maintain a conversation at the top end of that and be maximally burning fat. So fat burn is a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to burn carbs and the ability to burn fat. They're always going to be happening in a ratio to one another. You're never going to have 100% fat burn, even in the depths of ketosis, right? That just won't happen. However, if you wanted to optimize those percentages so that you're burning more fat, your zone 2 cardio is going to do that. And the recovery time for it is next to nothing. So assuming the impact is low on your body, meaning like you're not jumping from 0 to 100 into running. If the impact is low, you'll be able to immediately do another zone 2 the next day mm-hmm. and burn a good amount of fat and then recover from it. And that's why zone 2 is so important. And it supports your cardiovascular health as well.
Because people think, like we were talking about, how you have to train hard to get, you know, you have to help your heart. Like mm-hmm. you have to train hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when I go to the gym, I'll see people running on the tread every single day in mm-hmm. what visually, I don't know their body, I don't know their heart rate, looks more intense than a zone 2.
100%.
And they're doing it every day. And they're probably not seeing the results that they're looking for, if I had to make a guess.
Probably not. They're probably tired, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to know. If I were to stop and talk to somebody at the gym while they're training, I could tell you what heart rate zone they're in.
Yeah.
And almost everyone's training too hard, trying to get the most like bang for their buck for the time that they're spending doing it. We can give your listeners a way to calculate their zone 2.
Yeah.
It's 220 minus your age.
Okay. So let's just do me if that's okay. So that they can go off of something.
And
so
then 220. We'll put it in the notes afterwards too.
Yep.
Is that okay?
And everybody, Perfect. What Alex is referring to is that we have something that we put in the episode. In my link in bio. I don't know what I'm going to name it yet because this is pre me putting it in there, but I'm sure it'll say like episode with Alex, things you need to know, workout routine, something like that. We're going to give you a little cheat sheet. So you can go download it in my link in bio. You click in there, you'll see my buttons on there and you'll just see it. It'll be like a cheat sheet thing. So that's what we're referencing, what we're going to put it on. So you don't have to have a pen and paper out if you're in the car right now. Yeah. We can give you this later.
Yeah.
Okay. So
okay. I'm 220. I'm going to use my calculator so that I don't get my math wrong.
Okay. So 220, I'm 26.
Okay. So 220 minus 26.
Okay.
Do you know your resting heart rate?
41.
That's a really good resting heart rate.
I have a very low heart rate.
Yeah.
Well, even my Oura Ring the other day is like, something was stressing you out. Your resting heart rate was 45, which is how I know it. Even like a hair higher is too much for me.
Yeah. So minus your resting heart rate.
Okay.
So we're subtracting out what's happening with your body already just being at rest. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we're multiplying by 0.6. Okay. Okay. So this formula is called the Karvonen method.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can look that up and you can find all of your heart rate intensities.
Didn't know this.
Yes. Yeah. And it's probably the most efficacious formula for calculating that. Mm-hmm. So then we're going to multiply that number by 0.6.
Okay.
Okay. And then we're going to add back in your resting heart rate. So your zone two.
Okay.
132.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
we're going to round that up, 133.
Yeah.
If it's a decimal, round it.
Okay, round it up.
Yep, round it up.
Good to know. Okay, yeah. So that's my zone two area I should be in majority of the week. Just because we're on the topic.
80% of the time. So for your cardio volume, right, whatever that may be, if it's 3 hours a week, right, it doesn't matter. 80% of that 3 hours should be in zone two.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very simple.
How many days should we be doing zone four or three?
Zone four or three, I say once a week.
Okay.
You could add zone three back in a second time, but I will say that most people and all of my clients, if they're asking me what to do, I'm saying once a week to keep it simple. The simple plan is going to work.
We like simple more. We like it way more. Yeah. I love that. Next one I wrote was how we think like greens or pre-workout products are going to save our routines, are going to make the biggest splash in our routines. What are your thoughts on that?
You can't buy anything that's going to save your routine, right? That is all behavioral. And you know, this is coming from someone who advocates for these supplements and uses these supplements. It's not going to be the first thing that fixes anything, but can it help you feel like you're taking a step towards your health? Yes. So you asked about greens.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
Greens and let me look. Where was it? Pre-workout. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pre-workout. So I actually don't take pre-workout.
I don't either.
Yeah. The so active.
She's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah. I mean, it helps people feel like they're getting there. But what I found is that every time I've taken pre-workout, I really should have taken a rest day. You know, I'm like trying to get myself here and what I really am like right here.
Yeah.
You know, that is kind of my philosophy on that is I'm like, if I need this, like just go to sleep, right? That's going to be the thing that supports my fitness. Other people, they, you know, it does give them that little boost. But if you find yourself one scoop, two scoop, right, getting into that pattern, back it off, right?
Pull it back a little bit.
Pull it back. Greens, you know, I'm going to be straight up honest.
You can be.
I never have taken a green supplement. Never. Hands down.
Just like your veggies.
Yep. I eat my veggies. I've been trying to eat more of them. Recently got my blood work done. And whenever I go off of like what I know is good nutrition, my blood work always reflects it. You can see it. And so I just recently brought it back. To try and get my greens like elevated, right? It will also make you feel fuller, those types of things, which is going to be the sustainable approach.
Absolutely.
Multivitamin, I do recommend, right? That's what you're getting from the greens is micronutrients. No one can argue that.
Which is like a daily vitamin.
Yeah.
Like one that vitamin, you get, yeah.
You know, A, D, E, and K.
Yeah.
Those are your fat soluble vitamins. B and C. I love vitamin B12.
Me too.
Vitamin D.
Those
are the things that I would recommend people taking. My supplement stack, electrolytes is a big one, magnesium. In terms of like what you're getting from those like first two supplements, if you have the basics of your nutrition, you won't need them.
Okay.
Right. However, the greens come in when you have the person who's so busy, they don't know. I mean, I've thrown out so much spinach in my life. I want to eat it.
I know.
And then I put it in the fridge.
I'm trying to be better about it. Right? I hide it underneath like a piece of salmon is my like go-to now. And then you drizzle a little balsamic on it and you're like, oh, I'm eating it.
Yeah. Right. People get into that pace of life where nothing stops, especially parents. My brother has two little ones and like his life is much more fast paced. And so for that person, I could see myself recommending greens too, but I would check a lot of boxes before we got to that one.
I love right? the way you answered that.
Yeah. And so there's the staples, right? And that is definitely the multivitamin. Protein first. I only recommend a protein supplement once people have already attempted to get all their protein from their diet and we find that they aren't. But we're trying to answer these questions with whole foods and then with supplements.
So get your protein in with food. And then if you're not hitting it, your protein goals is what I mean by hitting it. Then you add a protein supplement on top of that. Once we figured out that you're not hitting that protein goal.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we measure it and then we add in. With my clients, I don't like them to take more than 2 scoops of protein a day. Mm-hmm. It's not good for the digestive tract. I think everyone's experienced that where they've had too many scoops of, and it's just not great.
You're not good. You don't feel great. You've got other priorities that day than probably running around and doing other things. You're busy doing something else.
100%.
Last thing we'll talk about with fads and then we'll transition is hybrid athletes, right? So, cause there's a lot of people that just run, just lift, just cycle, just, you know, whatever you fill in the blank, this idea of hybrid athletes.
So I'm really excited about where the fitness industry is landing in the next 5 years. We've kind of gone through the phases of the fitness industry that have been bad for us, and we're getting into one that's really good for us. People are tired of being injured. They're tired of the standard model being a bodybuilder. They're tired of seeing bodybuilders that they love and have followed for a long time, you know, die from complications. And they want to see like a different picture of health, right? And so that's kind of changing. And the hybrid athlete, I would say, is kind of at the like helm of that change. And so what that means is that you're someone who prioritizes a cardio sport and a strength sport. That could be a CrossFitter. It could be a triathlete. It could be, the point is that it covers all the realms. Just means that you're pursuing both at the same time. And you're seeing a ton of influencers adopt this and recognize that cardio doesn't rob you of your gains. It supports your health. It supports your recovery. It supports your ability to not get winded at the top of the stairs, you know? And so people are kind of moving on from the idea of the pinnacle of fitness being a power lifter or a bodybuilder or a physique athlete, and recognizing that if you put health at the foundation, that those sports aren't going to be as possible, right? Yeah. They wouldn't be able to get to that point and claim that they're a healthy individual.
Yeah. You have to be more well-rounded. We're seeing that. And that's exciting that we're actually like realizing that finally, because even when, you know, I bring it back to myself, cause I like to compare to what I know is like when I was just running, I was not at my optimal health. Right now, like in my mid-20s, mid to late, that's really scary.
You're like, what the hell? I turned 30 in 4 months.
I know. I know. And Jordan would be like flicking me off right now. but like, I was not at my optimal health in college, even though I was like training, my metabolism was insane. I was running like a freak. You know what I mean? Like I could run like nobody's business, but I was not at my optimal health. My body hurt. I was burnt out all the time. I would sleep like I was so exhausted and I would just overtrain and overtrain. Now, after transitioning through that, I was like, I need to get into lifting because I want to feel strong. Like I don't feel strong when I'm just running. And then I got into lifting and then I was like, I love lifting, but I don't feel well-rounded when I'm just lifting. You know, your lactic acid in your legs builds up, you know, if you're not good about like stretching and putting your legs up the wall and doing other things that will help move that. But finally now I feel like I'm getting into a balance of I lift, I go take Sid's cycle class. I go on a walk some days. I mix in a yoga, and I would usually, or previous Sid, be like, this is messing up what I want, my gains, my overall goals. It's too messy. It's like, actually I feel really good. Like I feel the best I've ever felt, and I feel the strongest, and I know that that's all positive, you know? So,
yeah, I think my comment on that, that was our last fad, right?
Yeah, that was the last fad.
So let's kind of tie it together with the fact that, you know, these are fads, but some of them are here to stay. And we kind of talked about information overload.
Yes.
The key to knowing whether or not it's a fad, right, amidst all this information overload that's going to stick and is going to be good for you, or if it's something that's going to be passing through and probably a little bit more dangerous for you, is if it feels good, right? Okay. When you're done with your workout, if you're like, wow, I feel a lot better, chances are that bout was really good for you. Mm-hmm. If you're like, wow, I feel beat up and damaged, chances are that one wasn't as good for you. There's a difference between pushing yourself and challenging these systems that exist in our body and just beating yourself up.
Yep.
And every one of us has to figure out what that looks like. And you're going to make mistakes in that process. I am still learning, right? Everyone's going to have moments where they overpush.
Oh yeah.
They have a bad day at work and that's their outlet, right? And they went a little too hard and they're sore for a couple more days, right?
I've been there.
But that's the litmus test for your, for anyone listening is, does it feel good at the end of the session? Am I more energized versus less energized?
Love that.
You know,
that's digestible. I can, people can figure that out on their own.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a good burn and a bad burn. Yeah.
Love that. And you can put that on any fitness fad that comes up, even the ones that we didn't cover here, right? Does it make my body feel better? Right.
Perfect. That's easy. It's like simplifying. What the goal here is to simplify all of this because it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk about building fitness routines for your goals. Okay. So, I wrote down here a science-based routine versus one that's like trending or random or scattered. And like tracking, like what's the actual difference and like, how can you tell if it's a good one or a, or maybe a bad one?
Yeah.
Quote unquote, I'm putting air quotes, bad one.
Well, let's start with what we just left off at is, does it feel good? Okay. Your body will always, like, even against everything I know about training, I always ask my clients how they feel, right? I'm wrong if they don't feel good, right? That's just how that works. And so you can just go back to the plan or back to the drawing board rather. In terms of what makes something science-based, I start my foundation with balancing kind of three components: your nutrition, your cardiovascular, and your strength. And the way that you relate those three things to one another in terms of recovery and energy balance, in my mind, is what makes something based in science. You also want to make sure that you're using, I'll say, efficacious and studied movements, right? And so, but that's much simpler than it sounds. We know that squats work at this point in time. We know that bench press works at this point in time. No one is out there really trying to reinvent the wheels with new movement patterns. We're just trying to take what works and organize it in a way that doesn't degrade joints and builds muscle and does that on for the lifetime, right?
Yep.
And so I would say that the process of balancing those three, to circle back, is my method. And the way that I do that, right, is taking in that intake, right? So someone who walks through the front door and leaves me with their goals. Okay, how many days per week do you want to be resistance training? How many days per week can you be doing cardio?
Resistance training being, just so we can be really literal. Okay.
Weightlifting. Yep. How many days, or, and honestly, your nutrition is going to be at the foundation. That's an everyday thing. A lot of times when people leave my office, the one thing that they're a little bit disheartened by is the fact that I advocate for people to do cardio every single day. And a lot of people are like, isn't that overkill? Don't I need a rest day? You would if it was all zone three, all zone four. But if you're training at the appropriate intensities, you don't.
What does a everyday cardio look like for one of your clients?
So that's a really good question. My baseline is 30 minutes per day.
Okay.
But it can look a lot different, right? I think when people think cardio, they're like, I have to run, right? For some people, it's hitting their steps, right? It's getting movement in every single day that's going to be at baseline stimulating to zone two. So we're getting past that resting heart rate and into something that would recover. If you want to look at this at the highest level, I always tell people to kind of watch the sidelines while they're watching any sports game. The people who are the best athletes are recovering on a bike. Blood flow promotes recovery better than just sitting still. I would say also sleep, right?
Those two, you need two.
Yeah. Assuming that you're getting 8 hours of sleep. If you're not, you would need more rest than that.
So it makes me think of the 12, what is it? 12:33. I didn't probably say that in 12:33. Yeah. So like that would be a good example, right? Of like 30 minutes of cardio, probably zone two, right? Because we're at an incline and you're going about 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Good cardio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's
cardio.
One of those, I guess it's low a fad impact. That kind of stayed and it's good and it's low impact.
Yeah. Low impact.
Makes you feel good. I always feel good.
It works best in conjunction with the others, right? So if you have that threshold day and you have the other one, right, they balance one another.
Okay.
And you'll notice sometimes when you go to train that your heart rate is not fixed, meaning that you could be at that same intensity and it could be zone one on one day, but then the next day you're not as recovered and you come back and it's zone two for you, right? So the heart is this undulating method to kind of track intensity. And you want to be aware that that's not fixed at a certain pace. So today it's 5 minutes, you know, for, well, 5 minutes is a fast mile. Let's say today it's a 10 minute mile on the treadmill. Tomorrow it's 11. The next day it's nine. Mm-hmm. It's a moving target, but what you're prioritizing is your heart rate.
That's really good to flag because it won't be the same every single day. When we talk about people wanting to see change, I want to talk about just like three areas that I hear the most of people writing in. It's like, what if I just want to start like week by week? What does it look like? Then we'll talk about what if I want to gain muscle or get stronger? And then we'll talk about the, what if I want to lose weight? So let's just start with what if I want to just start like week by week, what would you recommend? And remember, this will be in the bio of my podcast under a link and you can download the PDF. Okay.
So
pen and paper, no necessity.
So the first thing is that getting into fitness is a psychological game. And Terry Crews, he said something that I tell all my clients when they're struggling, that you want to come to the gym and just touch the weights. He's like, don't even move them. Like, just get there, right?
Oh, I love that actually. That's right? Really good.
You just get there. You walk around the gym. You're like, hey, I made it, right? And maybe tomorrow I'm going to make it and do something, right?
I love that.
What's the smallest step that you can take that you can stomach, right? Maybe it's putting your shoes on. Right. Eventually push is going to have to come to shove, but it will become a more organic process. You don't have to take, you know, 10 steps on day one. You can just take the first one. So what's the smallest amount that you feel like you were able to do is the first piece. Like, so if you're, how do I start today for someone who doesn't have a gym membership, right? You look at your budget, you figure out what you can afford for a gym membership. You go and you do that, right? It's that. If that number is zero, you go for a walk, you come back, you do some abs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you figure out what works for you and you take that step and you do it in an amount of time that is not daunting to you. Fitness carries momentum. So once you start, chances are, even if you resolve to only do 10 minutes, you'll be an hour in feeling fantastic. Mm-hmm. But wrapping your mind around an hour initially would have been probably something that pushed you away.
So push you to fail. You're like, oh, nope, never mind. I'm not going to do it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so when my clients come in to train, they have a 10 minute warm-up that they do. And the reason that that's there is A, you know, get their body warm and whatnot. So when they see me, we can get right into movements. B, when they know that when they don't feel like doing the whole workout, my only expectation is that they come and do that warm-up. They always feel like doing the workout afterwards, but they don't have to wrap their mind around the workout. They only have to get through the warm up.
I like that a lot.
You know, and so on those days where you're like, oh, I can't do it. Maybe you can.
Yeah.
Could you do 5 minutes? And if the answer is yes, do 5 minutes and then give yourself that like loving permission that like, okay, if I really can't, I'm out, right? That's it. I'm done. That's okay.
Yeah, and it's okay. I like that you add that. It's okay. Just start. You know what I mean? Like just get moving, figure out what you can do, figure out the balance. What would you say again, we're not looking at your macros right now. We're not looking at all of your understanding your heart rate and all of those pieces, but like generally speaking, what would you say to me if I wanted to start? Like what would my week to week look like? Roughly.
Yeah. So, you know, first question is always going to be what limitations are we working around? What injuries are we working around? But that's out of the way. If we're making that assumption, strength training 2 times a week, if we're starting from zero, let's move to 2. The session doesn't have to be an hour. It can be 30 minutes.
Okay.
We're trying to get a stimulus for the muscle to grow. If we can achieve that in 30 minutes, the job's done. Then you can add in the cardio on top of that. The daily movement piece is the biggest for me. First, that looks like 10,000 steps a day, just to give somebody a metric to start to pace towards. And to show them how movement compounds throughout the day and how 10,000 in one session can be a lot, but moving throughout the day, it becomes a little bit more simplified. Then we layer in the daily cardio of that zone two, working up to that 30 minutes. From there, we start to move the pieces to higher frequencies. People don't need to go past 3 times per week weightlifting. You know, we have enough scientific evidence that that's an appropriate amount. Now, if you want to get to those higher levels, you're going to have to do more frequency than that. However, for baseline health, that's perfect.
Yep. Love that. So then what if I wanted to get stronger? What would my week look like?
Okay. So strength, there are three phases to strength expression. First, muscular endurance, then muscular hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. And then we have the actual, I'll say, moment, the 4 weeks of time where we capture your maximal strength. So when I have somebody who wants to get strong, is I take one of those primal movement patterns. We haven't really talked about those yet.
I know. Yeah, we should probably talk about
them. Let's go through it real quick.
Yeah, we should.
Squats, single leg movement, like a lunge, deadlifts or a hinge, horizontal push, like a bench press, vertical push, like an overhead press, vertical pull, like a pull up.
Or a pull down, I guess,
or
right?
Or a pull down,
Lat pull down.
Then like a horizontal row, like a single arm dumbbell row, something like that. We use these movement patterns so that we can have something to track strength in a meaningful way. And then we pick our movements and then we load them through these. And so we figure out what a maximal load looks like through sub-maximal testing. So I take somebody towards failure in a set of 15 in one of those movements that we're going to be using.
Okay.
And then we give them percentages to kind of climb by. For muscular endurance, you start at 60% of your estimated one repetition max. And then you move up towards a like one rep max in 12 weeks, increasing those percentages slowly over the weeks and decreasing the reps.
Okay.
And so when somebody wants to intentionally add strength, we get specific on their numbers and then we apply percentage. If you want to, like if you don't want to get that detailed and specific, then that's when we generally advise progressive overload and we say, start the movement, right? And when you get to the top end of your rep range, then just circle back to the bottom end with a heavier weight and so do that over and over again.
Do an example of one, even if it's like a squat, like the simplest
one. Yeah, let's take a squat. So we're going to take a squat, goblet squat, dumbbell in front, coming down, right? We're going to go not as specific at first. You're starting with 50 pounds and you can only do that for 8 reps. You do that once a week in your routine until you can get to 12 reps on each one of those sets. And then you increase to 60 pounds and circle back to 8 reps.
Yep.
Okay.
So you're basically building your reps with the same weight. Once I can hit that, you basically your failure point. And now the failure point gets easier and you're like, wait a minute, I can do that. That's when the weight goes up, but the reps go back down.
Yep. Yep. And then the reps come back down. So really the effort's always going to feel the same session to session, and that will work for a very long time and get people to probably about 85 to 90% of their genetic limit. When people want to get more specific and detailed than that, that's when instead they can take that goblet squat and they can test their one repetition max on it by doing a sub-maximal test. And then once they have that number, they can be very specific and intentional in their steps up and bring it down in rep range.
Okay.
So there are two different methods. One we would use for that athlete who's trying to get to that 100% performance. But for anyone who's like, I want this for general fitness, progressive resistance training will always work.
Love that. So a little bit different because this person is trying to gain weight. How many times a week would you still, would the plan change or are we just keeping the plan the same?
If they're trying to gain weight, or, trying to gain muscle mass.
Yeah. Would the plan generally speaking stay the same, maybe up the days of lifting and then up your weights, obviously, like you're talking about with that progressive training.
Yeah. For again, considering our natural athletes, right? I would probably take them to 5 times per week training to really prioritize recovery. But what would guide that progression is, okay, they've stalled out gaining progress on 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 5. And then we take that step to the 5th day per week. So you're going to start 3 and move towards a higher frequency.
Okay.
And that's for somebody who's really trying to build muscle. It will become more and more challenging. If you've never seen a scientific curve of like what it looks like to gain muscle, it can be really frustrating because you get exponential progress and then it starts to taper off. And it's a huge victory for someone 5 years into consistent lifting to gain a pound of muscle in a year. Okay. And so, it can frustrate some people, but that's how it's supposed to be.
That's probably where I'm at right now. I'm not gaining any more muscle because I've been lifting for like 2+ years.
Yeah.
And so I'm like in my curve and I'm actually okay with that. I'm like, I'm enjoying my lifts again, you know, like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So I'm constantly trying to find different ways to kind of identify like a easy scientific approach. Like, what's something that I can do to add more efficacy to this? And I stumbled upon basically a formula that you measure your wrist size and your ankle size. And they've put so much data into this study that they've been able to figure out your genetic limit for how much muscle you put on your frame.
What?
Yeah. As a natural athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so these things, you know,
and natural athlete meaning
not on performance enhancing
drugs.
There
you go. Bingo. Yeah.
Right. And so if you're in that state, we have it pretty well identified for how much muscle your frame can maximally carry.
Whoa. I did not know
and
that.
And you can pace towards it. Right. And so the idea with like this anti-aging like approach to exercise is that if you figure out what that number is and you're like, okay, I'm going to get to that number, and then how long can I keep it?
Yep.
Right. And that's the game for longevity.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Huh. This is so, I'm learning so much, and I'm in the fitness industry. So like, this is just blowing my freaking mind.
Yeah. It's, I mean, we have so, from all of this type of stuff, we have so much data out there.
And this little ring right here, the Oura ring.
Right.
Which, by the way, I really love. I really love. It's helped me with my sleep a ton. So
that was one of the things. So I'm a fitness skeptic. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody that.
That's a good thing, though, I think.
Yeah. You kind of have to be in my position. So like, basically, like, I'm like a real real grumpy about new things coming into the space. I'm like, oh, what is that ring? And so when Sydney got hers, I was like, no.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
This is not for me. But yep. I will admonish that like that's like definitely one of the things that I'm like, I need to get one of those.
You do.
For sleep tracking specifically, nothing else does it like that does.
No, seriously.
And so
HSA. And you can use your HSA on it. Yes. Thank you for saying that. I've been meaning to say that. You can use your HSA to get yourself an Oura ring. It is worth it, my friends. Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a watch girl. So I'm like, I don't ever wear my watch. I'm like, no, you know what? This is going to do it for me.
Yeah.
This is going to do it for me. And I know my zone too. So I can train my zone too and know it. This is the one that I get write-ins on the most when I'd say, I'm going to talk about nutrition. I'm going to talk about fitness. And then we're going to talk about gym intimidation, and I'll rapid fire you. But two of the most common statements I see are, I'm trying to lose weight and people recommend a cut, but I don't know how. And the other one is, I don't lose weight when I work out, what do I do? So what does a week to week look like for somebody who is trying to lose weight?
So I would say that the first thing that you're going to do is figure out how you're going to position your caloric deficit, right? It's a combination of exercise and nutrition. And like I said, it's balancing that equation. So there's an amount of food that you're probably comfortable with eating right now. We're going to go marginally below that. So there is going to be a level of discomfort. However, you need to balance is that you could do it just through nutrition, but it usually ends up being such a gap between what you're comfortable with and what you're eating that people start to almost panic. And it's a normal response, right? It's like the food's down and the brain will win that game.
Mm-hmm. Basically, so, you're saying because you're not working out, so you're eating a lot less, but if I work out, I'm going to burn more so I can eat a little more.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so you can find a comfortable balance where your cardio is supporting your health and your weight loss. And then your nutrition is nourishing your body, but not at a point where it's crossing over that threshold. And while it's still a little bit uncomfortable, it's nowhere near the level of discomfort that makes people have to stop their progress.
Yeah.
And that equation balances really well to about 2 pounds per week.
Okay.
Okay. So you can lose that and be in a comfortable space at that rate. Once you go past that, everyone gets the same spiel from me. You definitely can do this. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to feel sustainable. Have people done it? Yes. Do people keep it? Seldom, right? And so there has to be a transition plan.
And you have to look at macros to do this, really. Like, the answer really is macros, because I see a lot of people that think, well, I'll just eat like a ton of salads, or like I'll cut carbs completely, or I guess I'll cut back on my protein. What would you say to those people?
I would say that if macros is a barrier to get started, then you don't have to, right? But you would have to eat mostly whole foods and understand that when you come in and you're telling me that we're not losing weight, that the first thing that we're going to go to is we need to measure, right? We need to get specific on this to make sure that what we think is happening is actually happening. Mm. Macros is a high barrier for a lot of people because they've tried it and they've failed at it. And there are techniques that you can use to make it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And so I would never want that to be the barrier to get into eating healthier. However, it is an essential step in getting, I'll say, stage lean specifically, that you can be very calculated in like what rate that weight starts to fall off at.
And it works.
And it works.
Because it's a measurement. It's a scientific measurement. So what if somebody right now, just because I'm thinking about you listeners out there, of like, they want to lose weight, but they want, they like, they maybe don't want to do macros, and they think that the salad, you know, the Caesar salad at breakfast, lunch, and dinner is what's going to do it for them. What would you say to them?
Salad dressing. Oof, it's a bummer.
I know.
It's a bummer. Turn it around. Hidden. Here's the trick. If you're going to do it with salads and you're eating a Caesar salad, you have to understand that Caesar salad dressing has so much calories in it. It's insane. But the tip is so when you're buying your salad dressing at the store, just turn it around. If it's less than 40 calories per serving, you're golden.
Okay.
Okay.
But what would they, what should they be maybe their general training plan and their general eating plan?
Okay. That's a good question. Three times per week resistance training.
Okay. Lift.
Yep. Lift. If you haven't lifted at all, two times is fine.
Okay.
Cardio every single day, 30 minutes, 80% of that is going to be zone two.
Okay.
Right. Which we now know how to find. And then for a macronutrient plan, I would put women at, if it's a weight loss plan, 1600 calories, with their body weight in pounds for protein, and men at about 1800 calories. And that's a very general plan. We can get much more specific than that.
Yep.
And I would recommend it if you were going to pursue it. But if you're like, okay, what do I need to do? Right. Those patterns are going to work.
Love that. That's like take home, takeaway information, you guys. Just what I hear often too is like this, the salad is not going to work. Like you eating your salads, are you substituting a salad? And then I see that big Caesar, you know, salad come out with a bunch of cheese, Parmesan, and croutons the size of my face and no protein on it. I'm like, you're going to be starving later.
Yeah.
And you just ate dressing on water because those lettuce leaves are literally just water. And I'm like, you didn't get any nutrients. You're going to be starving later. And like, you didn't hit your goals. And now you're not satisfied. You probably sat and watched everyone eat a bunch of fries. Like you can still dabble in every food that you want. As long as you're close to the whole food, you know, as your majority of your diet, you can still have two fries.
Oh, 100%.
You can still have a few, you know, so won't go into too much detail because I really want to get to this rapid fire and gym intimidation, but everything that we talk about is in the link in my bio. So please go download it, go look at it, go get your general idea. Alex will shout himself out at the end. You'll be able to find him, talk to him, and train with him if he's got availability, of course.
Yeah, 100%.
But this is a tool for you. So I want you to walk away feeling like it's a tool. That's like why I'm doing what I'm doing now too. Gym intimidation. I've had seasons of this, especially when I wanted to learn how to train better. I feel like I was, like I talked about, doing a shit ton of cardio, not knowing how to lift. Then I went into lifting, and I felt like when I wanted to start lifting, I've refound gym intimidation. Like I felt it again because I didn't know how to go pick up the weights. And I didn't know what to lift and when am I lifting and do I need a split workout and all these things. All that aside, let's just really quick give people tips on like a new gym, a new routine, and like travel maintenance. With when we're talking about gym intimidation, that's hard to say a bunch of times.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that it is going to come and go throughout your whole lifting and training, you know, career or journey, however you want to say that, is very real. And there's a couple tips that I like to give people when they are experiencing that. And the first one is this: during your warm-up, look at your workout, like have it open in front of you and start to understand where your next move is going to be. A lot of times people don't want to feel like they're just circling the gym looking for something. And so if you go to your piece of cardio machinery, you get it on for 10 minutes, you put the workout right up there in front of it and you're like, this is what I'm going to be doing. You know that when you finish, you're going to walk over to the bench press or, you know, the cable machine. And so, you know, your next move. The next tip that I give people is to, before they start their warm up, if they're really feeling uncomfortable, especially during travel, when they don't know the gym, is to walk the gym floor, look around. That's usually what I do, especially if I don't know the equipment. Like since I work at Lifetime and I travel, if I go to a Lifetime, I know they're probably going to have something similar. But if you're going to a totally different gym, you don't know what they're going to have. And so you have to go around and you kind of have to understand that there's going to be a learning curve to your workout. And so I usually just say, okay, this workout's going to be an hour. I don't care if I finish it. You know, it's, I'm going to get as far as I can. I add in what's called an educational set. And that's before the warm up, you learn the machine and you learn the movement, and then you move into the warm up.
Oh, okay.
And then into the actual exercise. And yep. So it's an extra step, but it's going to make sure that you understand what you're doing a little bit better. And it's something that everyone has to do. No one's sitting there looking at you. It's something that everyone is going to have to experience and do.
No one cares if you know how to do the machine. Mm-hmm. Looking at you being like, I wonder if they know what they're doing or anything like that. It is not a thing. So take and remove that piece away. And also don't try to go too heavy on, let's say, the squat rack, just because, you know, a sister next to you is going crazy heavy on her squats. Or you feel like you have to because you're on the squat rack. Like, do what is going to be comfortable for your body. Mm-hmm. And if you're not ready for the squat rack, maybe we're doing, you know, goblet squats or something else. Like, don't overdo it just because you think it's what you should be doing. Yeah. And because you're intimidated or you're uncomfortable, start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Free weights are more than enough for a workout if you know how to use them correctly and, you know, to challenge yourself with a weight that's heavy. Mm-hmm. But like, you don't have to go to the machinery if you're not ready for it. I just want to say that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, interestingly enough, the machines are a safer and easier learning curve, but their intimidation factor can be high because they're big. But that's how, you know, if you have somebody who's totally new to weightlifting, we take them to the machines first because they're easy.
Yep.
Right. And so if that is a fear that people are having, I would say start to try that first and then go to free weights, because they will be a singular range of motion and a good exercise experience.
They're guided and usually have like a safety. So you're not going to like go too deep in a squat and like get stuck or something. Good point. Yeah. I have a few rapid fire questions of people that wrote in, and I'm excited for these because then we'll wrap. But these were questions that people were writing in. You as listeners, you know, I always love you and help you and want to answer your questions. I didn't do a call sit up in this episode because I wanted to do this as the call sit. So I think there's five questions. First one says, what's the right balance of sugar, carbs, and protein a day? Because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Let's go quick on this and just very general and understand that every one of these is going to have context to it, but I'm going to answer without context.
Okay.
So 1 gram per pound of body weight.
Okay.
If you are in an obesity range of your BMI, 1 gram per pound of lean body mass.
Okay.
Okay. Those things are two different things. There's actually not an amount of added sugar that is a good idea to have in your diet. That's an unfortunate thing. Yeah. I hate it too. Everyone likes sugar. It's designed to be that way. But sugar that's not added from fruit, still a great thing. I wouldn't say that there's a number associated to the percentage of carbohydrates that it should be.
Yeah.
Have your fruit in the day and understand that added sugar is probably going to make it in. It makes it in for me too. I'm not going to say you're professed to be like, you know, I never have sugar. I absolutely do. Yeah. Right. It's in all of our
me
diets.
Too.
Yeah. And you try to limit it. That's what you do. In terms of carbohydrates, this is something that not a lot of people know, is that there's not actually a recommended amount like there is protein and fats.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so it can be very, very high for competitive athletes, but it can also be very, very low. And you're kind of in my nutrition coaching, that's the one number that I leave very flexible to undulate high and then undulate low, because we can store it in our muscles and in our body. We carry it around with us all day long. And so on a day when you're depleted, you need more. And on a day when your glycogen stores are full from the day before, you don't need as much.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that number is not going to be as specific as protein. Fats, they can be specific.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus. I literally am like mind blown today. I'm not joking. I'm like, Jesus. And you live with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is all your knowledge all the time. I'm jealous. This is cool.
Today.
I know. What do I do, babe? Tell me what I do.
Right.
Okay. Second question is, your staple products you recommend for everyone.
Staple products.
We kind of talked about them.
Multivitamin.
Yeah.
Let's go there first. And I'm not someone who's always taken a multivitamin. That's new to me.
Me too.
And I feel so much better on having that. The other thing that doesn't have any science, doesn't have enough scientific backing on it to say that it's backed by science, but has subjectively for me been an absolute game changer, is electrolytes.
Yep.
That's a supplement that almost everybody sells that people, I think, are surprised to know that there's not a ton of research supporting that it actually enhances, I'll say, any type of sport performance. But I will tell you from myself that I cramp like crazy if I don't take it.
Yep.
So that would be my number two. My number three would be, I do add in whey protein. Just one scoop a day is what seems to do it for me. And that's not always in my diet. That's when I'm really more in the on the go mode. And then creatine always. Creatine is, I told you I'd circle back to this. We'll circle back real quick. So I first started taking creatine when I was 14 and my mom thought it was steroids.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She was like,
I remember thinking it was like bad for you in when my dad was putting it in his shakes. I remember that.
Yeah.
But my dad was a non-natural bodybuilder at one point.
Okay.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my mom was like, this is not good. Like, show me the science that this is okay. And so as a 14-year-old, I had to learn the science of creatine. And the way that it works is really interesting. It stores inside your muscle cell. And so a lot of people are worried that they're going to get puffy when they take it. The older version of creatine that was not creatine monohydrate definitely pulled in more water. This pulls in a little bit of water. So does carbohydrates.
I was going to say, I'm not worried about, too worried about
it. I was going to say, carbohydrates pull in water and they store it inside the muscle cell. And it actually ends up making you look much fuller and more aesthetic. And so if you've ever like walked into the gym and felt like flat and depleted, that helps with that feeling.
Oh.
But the chemical reaction is very interesting. Everyone's heard of the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell. Inside of that, ATP is released.
Okay.
ATP is the currency of energy. Think of that as like the dollar in the market. Okay. That is ATP inside the body releasing energy. It breaks and you have ADP, adenosine diphosphate. Creatine sits there and it stores with an extra phosphate molecule and it lends you extra energy. When you have ADP, it gives it the phosphate to create ATP very quickly.
So you get more energy.
You get more energy and it's for quick bursts. So if you were to picture sprinters, or if you were to picture football players, or if you were to picture you wanting to lift heavier, it's going to give you about one, maybe two more reps in the gym. We're not talking monumental, but it will make you feel a little bit better.
Cool.
Yeah. And so that's something that I keep in my nutrition, into my nutrition daily. It's the most studied supplement that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And more uniquely, it's the only supplement that like has been proven to have performance enhancing effects.
Cool.
That's not banned.
So it's clean.
So it's clean.
Sweet. I have it in my diet or everyday nutrition right now too.
So I put it with my electrolytes because it doesn't mix well.
That's what I do too.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm not heavy. I'm not feeling like a bulky, like big, full of water. You know what I mean? Like I believed the myths a long time ago and now I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that was it. It was so anticlimactic. I was like, oh
yeah, it's not
so
wild.
I'm not changing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. Three more. How to boost your metabolism. Very general. We don't have to go too deep, but I get a lot of those.
Yeah. Everyone in marketing uses metabolism as a buzzword. And it's one of my least favorite things because metabolism is so complex and people talk about it like they know what it means, but it's like even the best scientists only know about 5% of what our metabolism is doing in our body.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really own that word yet in terms of a way of like using it as like knowledge, right? So metabolism is the sum total of catabolic and anabolic reactions in your body, right? Anabolic is building up, weightlifting, okay? That's a good thing.
Yep.
So weightlifting increases that anabolic portion of metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the method that it does to do it. It takes energy to build tissue. And then the catabolic is the breakdown of, okay? So think about breaking down glycogen molecules to create energy, right? Breaking down a fat molecule to create energy also takes energy to do that. Now it's releasing stored energy within the body as well.
Okay.
But those are metabolic reactions that are taking place as a byproduct of the movement that you're choosing to do.
So even in the simplest of forms, you're boosting your metabolism, generally speaking, even though it is a buzzword, you should be lifting.
Boosting your metabolism is, yes, by lifting, because you're increasing that anabolic part of it.
Boom.
Yep.
Simple enough, right?
Simple enough.
How to balance dieting with exercise?
This is a math equation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty simple. We can link this in the bio as well.
Yeah, we'll add this too.
Harris-Benedict formula is, if you don't have an Apple Watch or an Oura Ring to measure your metabolism, you can use a formula where they've done massive amounts of research where they've looked at a lot of different people and have basically come up with very complex algorithms to estimate what you're burning in a day. And then somebody put it on Google, which we made it really, that. Really convenient. And so if you search Harris Benedict, it will give you your metabolism. It will also give you an active component to that. What are you burning through exercise? You can test your diet against that. And the way that you know is that if you use those numbers and then you set yourself a caloric deficit or a caloric surplus, mm-hmm. if you're gaining and losing weight in that ratio to it, then it's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's how you balance. And that's also why people come to professionals. They're like, no math
thanks.
For me.
No, thank you. Left math in high school or college. Yeah. Done with that. Okay. Last but not least, thoughts on intermittent fasting.
Ooh. Okay. So intermittent fasting is something that I did for a long time and still do some, but I made a lot of mistakes with it when I first started. Intermittent fasting at first became a way to deal with a busy schedule and then became a way to deal with like the crash that it comes associated with eating. And then it became basically a way to allow myself to binge in the evening, right? And so it can lead to a lot of different unhealthy habits. I liked it, but then it became an excuse for me to eat more Pop-Tarts than any human should ever eat in one sitting.
A strawberry Pop-Tart toasted, please. That stuff is good. Don't even lie. Oh, I know.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah, exactly. It is good. That's why. Very good. That's why it's an issue.
Yeah, yeah. And so I kind of had to back myself out of intermittent fasting and then reintroduce it to myself. And so the beauty of intermittent fasting is that basically you're using time to restrict calories. Okay. And so you miss a meal, but you don't get to replace that meal later in the day with, you know, binge eating or processed foods that you might have high desire for.
Okay.
And so you're trying to basically, in the time that you're not intermittent fasting, eat a whole and balanced diet with meals that are roughly the size of what you would have had before anyways. So you're not eating less at each meal. You're eating the same size meal.
Just two.
And missing. Yeah, it can be three, you know, it's whatever. But it's within a window, right? And the typical window is 16 and 8, but people do 20 and 4. And it's like anything, you have to understand the risks associated with it, that it can really start to run away from you. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to recognize those signs of when it does. But it is Mind Pump. Do you know that podcast?
Yep.
They said it best. It's the original diet, right? It's the first one there ever was. There was no food, so we didn't eat, mm-hmm. right? And then we found food and we ate.
Yep.
And so we're in a different world where we have abundance and we're blessed for that, that there's food everywhere. And so now we kind of have to force that upon ourselves. And that's a bit of a different mind game.
Man, oh man.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel like I know what the hell I'm doing now. That's like the best feeling ever. And I'm so thankful for this conversation. And I'm like, I feel like I had a vision in my head of like the information I wanted to give to people buttoned up in a little package. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving it to the people that I want to give what I want to give them. So this was so cool. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge, because if you at all at any point were like, whoa, that went over my head, that's why you work with a personal trainer. That's 100%. Why you go to an Alex. That's why you find it, so you don't have to think about it. And he will do the work for you and he will button it up and make it pretty and be like, here you go. This is all you have to do.
Yeah, so 100%.
Know that if you were like, holy crap, that was a lot, I understand. I get it. You can re-listen. Mm-hmm. You can use the link in bio and you can reach out to Alex.
Yep.
Thank you for being here. That was 100%. Awesome. Where can people find you and reach out to you if they want info? Yeah.
So my Instagram is @BartonFitness, BARTON Fitness.
Okay.
And then you can train with me in person at Lifetime Target Center. We have a state-of-the-art facility. We just remodeled it as the best equipment.
She is gorge.
And a premier recovery space. All the things, all the bells and whistles, but ultimately will just make you feel relaxed and put you through a workout.
Yes, I love it. Yeah.
It gets really simple. It gets fancy and then it gets really simple.
It does.
So
thank you for being here. Thank you for talking through this with us. I actually, like, even being in the fitness industry, walk away with a shit ton of information to put it nicely. And Sid, thanks for getting us connected too. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
At Well Said Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, all the platforms. If you can go to YouTube and subscribe, that would be huge for me. And we just have fun, and it's sometimes kind of fun to watch people actually have a conversation too. So go watch it sometimes and let me know in the comments what you think. You can also vote on Spotify. They have these little like voting polls now, which are really cool. I probably sound like a grandma if you're like, yeah, they've been there for a while. But you can tell me if you like the episode or not. And it's right there in there. You can just go type and give me a comment or whatever you want to do. But I'm happy we had this conversation. I will always have more. Remember that you can always call me too, and it rings for a long time. So don't be afraid to leave a voicemail at 612-470-7569. Okay. I will talk to you later. Go to the link in bio, find the information, and we will see you next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.